Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Come from the different outreaches that we have here at Faith Bible Chapel that we're standing behind and supporting in one way or another. They begin right here in the city of our Jerusalem, city of Denver, the metro area, and outreaches extend across America and then across the seas around the world. 48 different outreaches we support as a church. And this particular weekend, and it actually began Wednesday night, we had a great service here Wednesday night. If you've never come out to a Wednesday night service, you ought to try it. We get into the Word of God, into worship, but this particular Wednesday we heard from three of our missionary partners, and they just shared from their hearts their experiences, how God called them out, and I was once again stirred. I pray I never get tired of hearing what God is doing. Because when I hear what God is doing, there's something ignites inside of me that the same God who did it before and is doing it now is going to do it in our midst. So we have a mission ahead of us. We have a job to do all together. So that's what this is all about. So I'm going to talk more about this at the end of our time together this morning. But we brought along a friend of Faith Bible Chapel, a friend of mine, that certainly has been involved in just being led of the Lord in a lot of different areas. One particular area is to veterans, Vietnam, being a Vietnam vet himself, and I being a Vietnam vet, every time I hear him, I'm encouraged. I feel that God has raised him up to encourage a lot of vets. But the ministry goes beyond that. You're going to hear that from our guest this morning. So would you welcome, good warm welcome, to David Reaver as he comes.
Hi, David.
Thank you, Pastor.
Bless you, brother.
Thank you. I love you, Pastor. Thank you. Good morning. I got to tell you something. This is not a joke, and I'm not kissing up, all right? I'm just telling you. I came in this morning and sat down back there at our table where we have our books and things. And from the moment I got out of the car until I was seated at that table, even until we walked into the service, I was greeted, I was hugged, I was handshaked, I was complimented, I was welcomed, and I turned to Kathy and I said, honestly, when I say this, Kathy, this is the friendliest, lovingest church we have ever come to. You are numero uno. That's so true, and I'm not exaggerating the point. I really mean, I love you guys. It's a joy to see you. I'm Dave Reaver, and I'm your favorite evangelist. I'm just saying, I know that you sure make me feel that way. Are you happy? You sounded, boy, isn't that a good band? You guys have some great worship and great team. I thought the drummer was really cool. I don't know why you got all that bulletproof glass around the guy, but I truly say this. Excellence is the word that comes to mind when I think of this church. And I can honestly say you have the greatest leadership you could possibly have. I love you, Pastor. Great to see you again. And it was so good to have dinner with you and your brother last night. We so enjoyed the fellowship. And thank you. Well, for some of you that we've never been together, I know you're looking me over. And I'm looking you over. You're wondering what happened to me, and I was wondering how you were doing. But hadn't it been fun serving the Lord in your lifetime? I am like Pastor. If I ever get tired of hearing of the Lord doing good things, I need to just die. You know, it just, what's the use of living? I love to see the work of God. And I was just sitting here thinking, 48 missionaries that this church carries in its missions budget. That is huge. That's huge. I mean, thank you for caring about others outside the walls of this place. And I mean, and thank you for supporting our ministry at Eagle Summit. Eagle Summit Ranches exist in two places right now, right here in Colorado, down the road about 3 hours in a little area of Colorado called Custer County, your smallest county. And we have our ranch at about 9,000 feet, 8,500 feet, somewhere right in there, altitude. And we bring in warriors from Fort Carson. They are sent to us on orders. They are required to come through that program. It is that successful for the Army that they require their wounded warriors to go through our program. What do you think of that? Isn't that outstanding? In the next service, we're really excited to have one of our warriors who will be here. And he and his wife, they won't be presenting, but we're very excited to have them come and be part of the last service. I'll be with you on this trip at 11 o'clock or whenever that starts. I get confused all these times. But I'm telling you, it's a life-changing experience for these warriors. And the Army saw what we do. And I was told this by a two-star general week before last. When we closed that session, he said, this is the most effective program we've got. You are sole source. That means S-O-L-E. You're the only person doing what's being done for our warriors. And I didn't take it as sole source, S-O-L-E. I took it as soul, S-O-U-L, source. Because it's the soul that gets troubled. Jesus had a troubled soul. He admitted it. He said, so now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? When your soul is troubled, you're speechless. There are times when your soul can be so troubled, you just don't know what to say. And our warriors come back shredded, torn to pieces like that. Their lives have been so tortured through their mind, and mind and soul come from the same source in words. And I'm telling you, our soul source ministry has been so effective that the Army, the Navy, the Marines, and the Air Force send their warriors on orders to come through our program. I can only say thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Faith Bible Chapel, for believing in us and supporting what we do. You have a share in every accomplishment we accomplish. What do you think of that? That's you, folks. That's you. Thank you. And I don't know how else to say it, but thank you. And thank you for that incredible donut this morning. You know what? You should have an altar call every service when you serve those things. We need to repent. Oh, bacon on it. Oh, my goodness, that donut. Well, I said, Lord, forgive me for what I'm about to do. But it was good, and y'all have so many good things going on around here. I'm going to read a scripture if you don't mind. I'm sure you don't mind, but if you don't mind, I'm going to use my iPhone because I can make the letters really great big. And you could probably read them from there. Look at the size of those letters. So if you have your iPhones, would you turn with me to Psalm 84? And while you're preparing to hear the word read and a ministry on that word, in line with what we're going to talk about, I'm having Kathy Wampler come. She and her husband have traveled with me for 22 years. Pretty good for a woman 24. And... But she and her husband are the managers and directors of Eagle Summit Ranch here in Colorado. But that isn't what they started out doing. Actually, she started out singing for me when she was just a teenager. And we ended up marrying our drummer. So I wanted her to marry my son. But she fell in love with the drummer. My son fell in love with a little girl out of Fort Worth who gave me the greatest grandbabies in the world. So Kathy is my singer, but her husband's my drummer-in-law. I thought that was funny. Anyway, we're going to read from Psalm 84, verse 5 shortly. I want Kathy to sing this song. It talks about tears. When you have a troubled soul and you don't know what to say, sometimes tears say it for you. I have been there so many times. Tears are a language that God understands. But tears do something else. When you have a really difficult time seeing through your eyes of your soul, tears will wash them and you can see better. Would you welcome Kathy Wampler? Come on, Kathy.
You've fallen victim. fight you've wrestled through. The closest of your friends abandoned, helpless. They're reaching, but they're just not reaching you. You hold no valid thoughts of consolation. The future holds no interest, no concern. The world you love is closing in around you. Clearly now there's nowhere left to turn. Blessed are the tears that fall. They clean the windows of your soul and usher in a change of heart and bring a joy that angels know. The time has come to share your well-kept secret. The hatred and the guilt degrading you. And sure, you blame yourself for all that's happened. But this time there's just no way that it's true. You need to know you've got a friend in Jesus. You need to know he felt rejected too. Just treatment. He's been there, so he knows what you've been through. Blessed are the tears that fall. They clean the windows of your soul and usher in a change of heart and bring a joy that angels know. Blessed are the tears that fall. Of life away, forgiven and forgotten now. A new creation's here to stay. You need to know you've got a friend in Jesus. You need to know he felt rejected too. Humiliating pain and unjust treatment. He's been there, so he knows what you've been. Are the tears that fall? They clean the windows of your soul. Blessed are the tears.
Beautiful, Kathy. Did you catch those words? Forgiven and forgotten now. Say that with me. Forgiven and forgotten. Say it again. Forgiven and forgotten. Wow. Boy, doesn't that just sink into your spirit? It broke my heart this morning. That song touched me. Thanks, Kath. Help me out here a minute, girl. If you would enjoy some of our materials, there in the back, we have a wonderful three albums, right, that Kathy brought of her music that touches you just like that song did. You can't go wrong buying her music. Also, my own story is available on a CD. This was sent to the Pentagon at the beginning of the war on terror. We thought it'd be good to get the Vietnam War, at least in archives, spoken of from a more positive point of view than all the negative about Vietnam and how God helped me through that. They listened to it and they ordered 100,000 copies of that story and asked me to deliver them to the troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. I said, let me pray about it. Amen. Okay. So I did. And since then, I've done 6 tours into Iraq and Afghanistan. I hope that this will be a blessing to you to hear that story. Also, Billy Graham did a message on a movie on my life. It's a powerful message done with the actual boats that, I don't mean the boat, but the same kind. They were known as PBRs, Mark II PBRs, the river boat that I was on in Vietnam. It's used in here. It's really a neat story. You'll enjoy it. It is rated R for righteous. Got you, didn't I? Yeah, there's no cursing and no nudity. I do not appear naked in that movie. I just want you to know. And that's why there's no cursing. Y'all are looking at me like, he didn't say that, did he? Also available is a book. It's an autobiography. It's called Scarred, and I think it was an appropriate title. And it has endorsements from Ronald Reagan and Billy Graham. And if they liked it, I think you will too. And it is hilarious in some parts, and it will go straight to your broken heart in other parts. Also a book for teenagers, about teenagers, stories by teenagers, and every parent in the room should have one. If you've got a teenager, you need this book. It talks about things your kids go through that you never hear them talk about. And I'm telling you, it's almost graphic when I describe it, because it tells the stories from broken lives whose souls needed a good window washing with tears. It's a book for your kids and for you. And then our favorite shirt of all time, people bought them last night because last year theirs is worn out. Live your life so the preacher won't have to lie at your funeral. We do this for pastor so that he can have a little help with you guys. I appreciate it, Kathy. Thank you. Again, give Kathy a nice appreciation applause. That song just nailed it this morning. Also available at the table back there, very important, and you should know this. I wear mine. It's a simple bracelet made from parachute cord, 550-pound tensile strength. The warriors wear them in Afghanistan and Iraq. It's called survival cord. It can be disassembled and used for a tourniquet. It can be used to tie extra gear on your rucksack. I tell them, I take it apart. They hold one end, I hold the other, and I'm pulling hard to bring them home. With what's going on in the Middle East today, with what's happening in Afghanistan, with people over inadvertent burning of the Quran. I wonder how many Bibles they've burned. And while they're blowing smoke over the burning of a Quran, they're burning our flag. Oh, duh. Forgive me if I'm a little cynical this morning about it all. I want our warriors to fight for something of a good cause. And it's hard to do that with people that don't care. And I'm telling you, we need to pull hard to bring our kids home. I love these warriors. I am brokenhearted for them today. And make no mistake, I don't want them to come home and waste the blood and treasure that's been spent to try to give freedom to people that don't want it. I don't want that wasted, but I don't want any more wasted. I don't want any more loss. So we're in a dilemma. We need to pray our way through it. Amen. God has the perfect answer, and we need to find that. And it's not politics I'm talking about here. How many of you understand? I'm not talking politics. I'm talking our precious warriors, and that's why our heart breaks. And anyway, I was going to tell you about these. I got to get to that and get on to my message. But if you'd like to get one today, they're available back there. They're a $10 purchase, and really it's a donation. You know, legally we call it that for the IRS, but if you take one, I want to tell you what this does. It pays, very simply, it pays for scholarships, because since we opened in 07, never has a single warrior ever paid to go through our program, and we do not accept government funds. I have never received a government fund on. I don't want the government. I love my government, but they don't have any business telling me what to believe and what to say. Called freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and it means my life to me. Don't ever think I'd give that up without a fight. So when you buy one of these, you're helping me put those warriors through that program. And there's a card in there, and if you would take the time this morning, if you take one of these, be sure and write a thank you to the warrior. Any warrior, you don't know their name, just write a thank you out from whatever's on your heart and leave that with me. And when I go into Afghanistan later this year, well, supposed to already be there, but with all the turmoil, they've held me back a little while. But when I go, I will take those and I will personally hand them out. I'll distribute them to the warriors wherever I find them in the world. And if you want to, it's strictly up to you. A pathway of return can be written in there with your email address. We can thank you. But the warriors can thank you for thanking them. And then you can thank them for thanking you for thanking them. And it sounds like I'm being funny, but if you think about it, it's dialogue. And who knows, you may very well give the words of hope in Jesus that a young warrior in the battlefield of Afghanistan may need that day for his life or her life. So take the time to do it. You ready? Let's go to the scriptures. A powerful verse that I will tell you this morning is the very first scriptures of the very first message I ever preached. And I love this passage, but it fit perfectly for today, because we are in a missions mind. And this is the perfect scripture for that. Verse 5 of Psalm 84. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. That is a powerful verse. And I didn't understand half of it the first time I read it. I understand that first part. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Oh, well, we know what that means. How many of you agree? If your strength is in God, you're a blessed person. Say amen. Amen. But what's that second part mean of that first verse? In whose heart are the ways of them? Whose heart? What ways? Well, it's really simple. Go to the revised version, the RV. I found it in my trailer. No, I'm kidding. That was supposed to be a joke, but it didn't come out right. In the heart of the ways of them, in the revised version says, in whose heart are the highways to heaven. A highway that goes to heaven. It says there in verse 7 that every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. So somewhere along the way, if we're in Zion, if Zion is in us, if our heart is in God and God's heart is in us, on our way to heaven, we pass through a valley called Baca. See it there in the second verse, verse 6. Who, passing through the valley of Baca, you know what that means? Weeping. Say weeping. You ever been in the valley of weeping? Oh, yeah. I've been through that valley many times. And the key word isn't valley. Key word is through. I've been through that valley. I don't want to live there. I don't want to be a resident of that valley. I am a resident where my citizenship is, and I'm a citizen of another country, of another city, whose builder and whose maker is God. I have citizenship as a United States citizen. I'm grateful for it, and I'm glad to be an American, proud of my heritage, proud to be a Vietnam veteran, proud to have served, and glad I get to serve even today, although I don't wear the uniform. I probably could, but I'd have to go to Denver Tent and Awning to have it made. I pass through the valley on my way to a city. Now, I want you to grasp that. We are not living in that valley. We're passing through it. If you're living in it, you needed that song this morning. If you're living in that valley, you need to know that someone in this room, maybe, somewhere, you will come across a well digger, and he'll have a shovel, and he'll dig until water is hit, and you can drink of the water of life from which you will never thirst again. Well digging. Think about it. How glamorous is that? I remember when I moved to Fort Worth, Texas, years and years ago, back in the 70s, we moved onto a piece of property, didn't have electricity, water, sewer, nothing. No improvements. I remember the first thing I wanted was electricity so I could run a water pump in the bottom of a well. And I remember whenever it came time to call a well digger, I didn't know who to call. Opened the yellow pages and I looked under well diggers and I came up with well digging service, and the first name was All Red, started with an A, All Red Well Digger Digging Services. I dialed the number, and this is the way the conversation went. He answered the phone. What? I said, hello? What? I said, is this All Red Well Digging Service? Yes. Well, I need a well. Where? 9430 10 Mile Bridge Road. When? Now. Okay. And he hung up. And Brenda looked at me and she said, what, did you just order a well? I said, I think so. Well, when is he coming? I said, I don't know. Well, what are you gonna do? I said, I don't know. I'm just gonna go up to the main road and wait. And about 2 hours later, after sitting up there all that time, I look, here comes an old beat up Ford truck with an A-frame on the back, and dangling on the back of that was a piece of tubing and tubes running down the side of it, and big old white buckets, paint buckets hanging on the side of that. And on my unimproved road, he bounced a few times. One of the buckets fell off, and I looked at Brent and I said, "The Clampets have arrived." This is all a true story. He rolls up on my property, and that old truck, even though all red welding surface on the side had faded, the truck was beat up. He gets out in an old overalls that still smell of the last well he dug with that old nasty muddy smell of dirt and mud and grease and big old thick hard hands with calluses, and put his hand out and shook mine. I said, "Are you Mr. Allred?" He said, "Yes, I am." I about fell over. I said, "You're kidding." He said, "What?" I said, "You uttered an entire sentence." Three words. "Yes, I am." "Well, where do you want this well?" I said, "Another sentence." I said, "I don't know." He said, "Well," I said, "get that stick you use, that thing." He said, "Well, where are you going to build the house?" I said, "Right over there." He said, "Well, let's put it near the house." I said, "Well, that sounds like a good idea." He cranks up that old thing. He engages the PTO, it's called, the power takeoff. It clunked. The engine backfired and clanged, and the thing starts spinning, and he pulls handles, and down it goes. And I'm thinking, in this old dry Texas dirt, he's not going to hit water with this old truck. And I mean, it's so dry down there, our trees fight over dogs. You know what I mean? That's dry when your catfish have ticks. And I'm thinking, he won't get 10 feet in this ground. And he puts on a second pipe of a 10-foot length, and he puts on a third pipe. And I'm thinking, whoa. Well, about 10 of those pipes, and he's down over 300 feet, something like that, 30 of those pipes. And I'm standing there just awed. Pretty soon, he pulls up out of there some of the best tasting water I ever drank to this day in my life. The third level of the Trinity River, considered the best water in the state of Texas. It was so cold from that depth, it was so cold that the water in the cup he gave me was so cold it was sweating on the outside of the cup on that hot July day. I remember taking a sip of that, and I looked at him, I said, "That's awesome. That's the best water I ever drank, Mr. Allred." I said, "And by the way, that's a really cool, nice truck you've got there. And I don't know who your tailor is, but boy, those overalls are nice. And whatever that fragrance is, whoa, you get my point." You know, as well diggers, we may not look like much sometimes. We may not have the greatest fragrance in the world sometimes. And the world may look at us and think, "Ah, who do they think they are?" But when you hand a thirsty man a cold glass of water in the name of Jesus, you're the best looking thing in Denver. You never smell so good in your life, and they crave what you've got to offer. I'm looking for passionate well diggers. Get a shovel and don't leave home without it. Amen? Come on, put your hands together if you agree with that. Don't leave home without your shovel. Because you are just what the world is looking for. "Yeah, but I don't have that sheepskin on my wall saying I'm Dr. So-and-so, the Reverend." Well, neither do I. Actually, I do. Let me go back. I had to have a compassionate principal who gave me half a credit just so I could graduate high school and him not put up with me another year. That's no joke. You know what I got that half credit in? Home economics. I never went to a class. I didn't even know there was such a thing. I found out that's for girls. I didn't care. I got out of high school. I mean, my grade average was so pathetic. It's a miracle I got through high school. Then I went to college. I didn't do well. Matter of fact, I was below sea level. That's why I went in the Navy. Did you get that? It's a little play on words. Yeah, I went in the Navy because they were trying to draft me into the Army, and I said, "I'm not going to Vietnam. I might get hurt." And I didn't want to go in the military and get hurt, so I went and joined the Navy. Put me in the South China Sea on a ship. I don't care. I'm no hero. I don't have that stuff. I was in the ninth grade when I played football. One down. It hurt so bad I quit and I joined the band and watched other kids get hurt. I mean, there's a lot of volunteers for pain. Why should I be one? So I go to Bible college. I'm not making good enough grades to be exempted from the draft. They sent me a letter to take a physical. I wrote back and told them I really feel pretty good. I'm just kidding. They did send the letter, and I took my physical. It was the only exam I passed that whole semester. I got an O+ on the blood test. I was up all night celebrating. They told me I was going to be inducted in the Army. I joined the Navy. I finished my training. They sent me to Naval Amphibious Base Coronado, California, and I became a brown water black beret, and my average lifespan just dropped dramatically. And they sent me to Vietnam attached to SEAL Team 1, and I'm a brown water black beret. I drove the boats. They've got a big movie coming out called Men of Valor, I think, with Navy SEALs and the boat teams. I was the boat team. And I got to drive those boats in those firefights. It was phenomenal. Everybody's shooting for their lives, and I'm driving the boat, or if someone else is driving the boat, I'm shooting for my life. It was an incredible experience that ended 8 months after I arrived in that country. And a grenade blew almost half my skin off, blew my face off, my ear off, my hair. I got parts. I put them on the bed the other day. My wife said good night, and I'm in the other room. that's a joke, too. I'll tell you when it's a joke, okay? No, it blew my hair off. That's no joke. And matter of fact, my hair got blown off last night when I came to church. I chased my hairpiece across this parking lot out here. Oh, it's embarrassing, I tell you. I've had a dog bring my hair back. It's embarrassing. My ear's artificial. I don't mind that. You know, you can't even tell from where you're sitting. You wouldn't have known if I didn't tell you. But you would know if it fell off and was laying on my shoulder, which happened in Jamaica. And they're not breathing, eyes wide, sucked air like a Hoover. And I'm thinking, I better say something, but they're not breathing. They're going to be Jonestown without the grape Kool-Aid here. And I picked up my ear, dried the sweat, and stuck it back on. They thought it was a miracle, and they all got saved. What can I say, you know? So my ear is my shovel. I dug a well in Jamaica, and people got saved. It wasn't the ear. It was the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin. Sometimes we get hurt in life and the windows of our soul need a good washing because of the pain. We're in the valley of weeping, but a good drink of water can change everything. I've had people give me that cold water when I needed it most. They were missionaries, every one of them, whether they knew it or not, but their words would change my life. They gave me hope. That's what I'm talking about this morning. That's why 48 missionaries will eventually come across this podium, I suspect. That's why this church cares about others. Your pastor went to Vietnam. You know what? He still goes to Vietnam, not with a M16, but he goes back with a John 3:16. Ooh, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. I love this story of Jesus, who said, I must go through Samaria. You know why? Jews weren't permitted there. But he knew they needed the story of hope and life that was found in him. Sometimes you go where it's difficult. On 9/11, I got a phone call 2 weeks after that. And they said, would you minister to our troops on bases across the nation? I went. When they said, we want you to go downrange, that is into Iraq, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, wherever they sent me, I went with a message of hope. I took my shovel into the valley of weeping. I've held them in my arms in Iraq when they died. That will change your perspective of suffering for freedom. All the politics goes away. It's passion and people. And I'm telling you, it's been a strange and incredible journey, but I wouldn't change, and this is a huge statement, I wouldn't change a day of my life. If what I have been through, when that grenade ripped my body apart, if what I have been through having laid in a bed with so much pain at Brooke Army Medical Center, I couldn't help it. I couldn't squelch it. I rolled over, stuck my face in the pillow, and just screamed from the pit of my feet, from the tips of my toes. I screamed in that pillow, hoping no one could hear. And I lifted my head to take a breath, and I screamed again. Didn't care who heard. When I looked down, and my face had come off, and it was stuck to the pillow. If what I've been through is what it took to be the right man at the right time, in the right place, with a shovel and these old crippled hands, I can still dig, then I wouldn't change a day of my life. Because my calling is not to be a good-looking, handsome brute, although I can't help it that I am. I mean, it just goes with, you know what I'm saying. My job is not to be the most popular man. It's not to be the best smelling, best looking. It doesn't matter if I've got doctorates on my wall, which I have one. It was granted. It was an unearned doctorate for a $14.7 million project we did in Vietnam and built the first cardiac care center and saved 300 lives every year to the day I'm standing here still saving lives. Oh, it was wonderful. Most people pay $150,000 for their doctorate. I paid $14.7 million for mine. You think I'm going to compete with a PhD intellectually? Not. No, I'm not the kind of guy that you would say is a good-looking well digger. But when I give them water, those warriors think I'm the best-looking thing they ever saw. And they've said to me, for all the psychologists and psychiatrists the Army gives us, we appreciate them all. But I sit there and look at that young fellow across the desk from me, and I don't see a scar on him. And I wonder, how can he know how I feel? But they tell me, when you came, we saw your scars, and we knew that you knew how we felt. Well, maybe it's of importance for you to remember that Jesus didn't go to Calvary in a limousine and die by lethal injection. They crucified the Son of God, hands up, palms out, and the whole world could see his scars. And they knew, he knew how they felt. Jesus knows how you feel. He has the cry of the lost in his heart. And while they were crucifying, he said, while they were killing him, he said, forgive them. They don't know what they've done. You ever wonder if they were all forgiven that day? I suspect they were. Even in the act of horror against and terror against his body. His soul was troubled. And he said, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But he answered that question when he said, for this cause came I. What cause do you have? What cause have you come to? What purpose in life is your passion? Do you have passion? And what is it for? Is it a passion to make more money? Is it a passion to be better looking? Is it a passion to be the first on your block, to have the latest? What is your passion? Let your passion be to dig another well for another soul. And on your way to Zion, you will go from victory to victory. You'll have a well of water everywhere you go. You'll never run out of water because you dug a well for others to give them water. Give and you will receive. Don't give to receive. Give because of your passion and you will never be without. Out of my passion, I was privileged to open the Eagle Summit Corporation and built now the second ranch. Fort Hood, the largest military installation in the world, came to our ranch 3 weeks ago. And when they left, they went back, analyzed everything they had seen and heard, and they selected Eagle Summit Ranch for their wounded warriors to go to. We are blessed because you have blessed us. We succeed because you made us succeed. You make me look so good, and I thank you for it. continue your giving to missions, the heart and heartbeat and throb of this church, whether it's here in Colorado or on the backside of the earth. By the way, because of you and people like you who support what we do, the Denver Broncos invited me to a football game the other day and put me in the middle of the field and put the cameras on me, and I was on that big screen, and I was selected as the Colorado hometown hero. Can you believe that? And they got to hear all about Eagle Summit Ranch in West Cliff, Colorado. It was so cool to have tens of thousands of people out of their seat giving standing ovations. I just looked at it and I said, oh Lord, I look funny with a huge head and a little bitty plastic ear. Oh, my head didn't swell that big. Thank you. You've made me look good. Continue support to Eagle Summit Ranch. And know we're good soil to sow into. To give you a little image of what we're all about, we have a very short but effective video. Hope you watch it and enjoy it.
Anybody that gets the opportunity to come out here to come, because I tell you what, it's a life-changing experience.
Thanks to all of y'all, because Eagle Summit Ranch has done a wonderful, wonderful job in my life. It has taken me from being the drunk on the street to being the man that I am now.
And I came out here to Eagle Summit Ranch in West Cliff, Colorado, and my life was changed forever. I will tell you the truth when I say I do not know where I'd be today without it.
I'm here at Eagle Summit Ranch with six of my soldiers from the Warrior Transition Unit at Fort Carson. I originally came here as an escort, and I've ended up getting a lot more than just the experience of escorting the soldiers. The soldiers here have grown so much since they've come here. I've seen a transition from day one into day two, day three, and now finally day five, when the soldiers that honestly I hadn't heard more than two sentences from in the past 3 months, and now they're actually about to give a speech to a room filled with over 60 people. It is absolutely extraordinary. There, any soldier that's hurting, that needs direction, that needs help, they're here to help you with that, and I thank them for it.
What do you think of that? Isn't that sweet? Come on, let's hear it for those guys. That's beautiful. I'm going to pass the mic to Pastor here. I was going to do it at the end of that, but I failed to mention one thing. Out of a contact in this church back in 06, I'm thinking, it's about 06, because we opened in 07, and it took 2 years to build that place. A man in this church walked up and he said, "Do you have furniture?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Well, I'm with Furniture Row, and we would like to furnish the furniture." I said, "Do you have an idea how much furniture 8,000 square feet needs?" He said, "How many of them do you want?" I said, "Well, let's start with the first one. Probably somewhere between $70,000, $80,000 in furniture from a contact out of this church." And they donated every bit of that furniture from Furniture Row. All the furniture you saw there. Thank you, church, for making that kind of difference. In sign language, that means I love you, but my thumb's blown off, so I speak sign language with a lisp. It means I love you. I really, really do. Stop by the table later and let us serve you there. My name's Dave Reber. I approve of this message. Pastor.
Thank you, David. All right. Thanks so much, David. Well, you can see one man who's just made himself available to the Lord in spite of circumstances in life. We don't have to be overcome by our circumstances. We're more than overcomers. It's all because of Jesus Christ, what he can do. It's our turn, though. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You received a beautiful brochure when you came in. And if you'll just take that out for a moment, I just want to refer to it. You can use this for the rest of the year for kind of a prayer guide. It has all the pictures of our different missionaries and a map that gives you somewhat of a general location of where they're at. And along with that, we have a missions display board. Most of you probably know about it because it's on your way to the restrooms. And I know all of you made it that way one time or another as you attend the church.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.